Look what happens when people come to request for the pith instructions. There's 60 of them more, and every single one of them I give an opportunity to get individual oral transmitted pith instructions. And I'll ask them, what is the most difficult in your practice at the moment? Where do you have problems? And why? Because some of the students, they don't know how to express themselves. So when I ask the questions, then they know how to answer. I'll ask them, this time that you went into retreat, what type of experience did you have? Where were your difficulties? And as soon as they mention, then I will correct them, and right there and then they understand. This is what we call pith instructions. And in this way, you don't have to worry. Is it right? Is it wrong? If it is correct, then you don't have to worry. You have the guru. If it is incorrect, you don't have to worry. You have your guru. Every time that you go and meet Vajraguru, the guru is going to give you pith instructions. He's going to correct what is going on with your practice if it's necessary. And in this case, what is there to worry about? When you're practicing pith instructions, practice the pith instructions. And the Vajraguru, when you meet him, will correct if necessary. And this is the great advantage of these individual pith instructions. These oral pith instructions are given one-on-one. They are not taught generally to everybody. I'd ask, what is the state of your practice? What's happening? And right there and then, I can correct them. If their practice is correct, I say, carry on. Carry on practicing. This is good. Maybe I'll give another pith instruction. If they're incorrect, then I'll say, okay, don't be attached to this. Don't be attached to these appearances. And then after this, then they understand. When you go home, then you don't have to think so much. This is what you all like doing. You like thinking a lot. Really, you think too much. And sometimes I think the way you are thinking is really strange. What you should practice, you don't practice. What you shouldn't practice, you do practice. You go home and you then go and give yourself so many different pith instructions. And this really is the area where I get the most frustrated. Those very auspicious pith instructions that have been given to us by His Holiness Lama Atuk Rinpoche, you don't practice. The great perfection pith instructions, you don't practice. And then what do? Go and find, oh, this feels right. And if I tell you, don't let the pith instruction give off all kinds of rays in your visualization, what do you go and do? You make the visualization have all kinds of rays being projected from the visualization. I say, don't have anything illuminating from the pith instruction. And then the student says, can I just let a little bit be illuminated, the rays coming out of the pith instruction? And then you go and visualize that there are all kinds of rays coming from the pith instruction. And then, oh, my eyes, what's happening to my eyes? And then we're very scared, very fearful. There's all kinds of rays coming from the pith instruction. Is this not something you decided for yourself? Every pith instruction's meaning is different. It represents something different. Its purpose is something different. What you do is bring your mind to calm abiding and quietly practice this pith instruction that I have given you. What happens? The student says, can there be rays emitting from it? What is the problem? They like the rays. I say to them, no light rays emitting from the pith instruction. Oh, Rinpoche, please, can we just do a little? You see, it's because they like it. To them, this feels right. And then when the lights emit, then they get afraid. And then they don't want to practice anymore. It's ourselves creating problems for ourselves. We create and generate all kinds of problems and obstacles for ourselves. We bring a lot of difficulties and obstacles to ourselves. Actually, practice is not complicated. It's very simple. However, we've got many preconceived ideas and from our theory. And then we add all of these conceptual and karmic obscurations into this. And then we lose the actual pith instruction. And then we become all nervous and anxious. These really are all karmic obscurations. We must really apply ourselves. And every time that we are requesting for pith instructions, first is we report the result of what is happening in terms of our practice of the pith instruction. And the second is that we request for our next pith instruction. The first is that we report the current situation with our practice to Rinpoche. We say, Rinpoche, in the last few days, This is what has been happening with my, in terms of my practice. What is the level of my practice? And then the guru will reply and say, oh, this area of your practice is incorrect. You should adjust this. And then you continue to practice. And then for some of the students, they are practicing the instruction very well. And then I might decide, no, this is best that they continue practicing this pith instruction. But the students want pith instructions. They say, Rinpoche, I've traveled from such a far way. Please, can you give me another pith instruction? Rinpoche says, oh, this pith instruction, you carry on and you practice it. You're practicing very well. But I say this, and they really don't appear very happy. This is not a question of whether you are happy or unhappy. It's a question of whether you can attain liberation or not. If we really apply ourselves and practice one pith instruction very well, then the practice of the following pith instructions will go very well. Some of the students are practicing the pith instructions very well. Some of the students are not practicing very well. And then what you can do is carry on practicing this pith instruction. And in this way, purify your mind. Everybody go home and practice these pith instructions well. They really have incredibly profound meaning and a lot of blessing. It's not as simple as you think. The first one that we visualize is the lotus, and this represents wisdom and cutting through, removing our ignorance, our grasping, and our afflictions, removing all our discriminatory thoughts. The lotus represents wisdom and compassion, and will remove our anger and the causes of anger. This is the first pith instruction, the lotus, and it has incredible blessing. And the inner meaning of all of the pith instructions is different. And we have the long sal and the long chen pith instructions. And so for everybody that I've given pith instructions to, go home and practice them well. Go home and practice the great perfection pith instruction that I've given you. If you want to practice any other dharmas, any other practices, well, this is your responsibility. I'm taking responsibility for the pith instructions I'm giving you. You take responsibility for all the other things that you're adding in there that I haven't given you. I don't know how to answer some of these situations that you come and report to me, that your eyes are like this, like that. Isn't this how we are carrying on our lives these days anyway? All lost and confused. If we're not afraid of all the things that appear in the samsara, then how are pith instructions going to scare us? All of these aspects of samsara, you're very clear about. You blink an eyelid, and you're very clear about your attachment, your aversion, your ignorance. This you know very, very well. However, I've taught the great perfection pith instructions how many times, and you still don't understand. How many times have I taught directly pointing at the mind, and still you don't understand? What's happened is those pith instructions I taught you in winter that I'm teaching you now, you're not practicing them. Every time I teach, I'm teaching very clearly about what to practice regarding true nature of mind. Really, I've taught this very, very clearly. However, you're just listening to it as if it's like music. You haven't actually applied the pith instructions in practice. Really, it's been taught to you very, very clearly. It's very clear in terms of the great perfection. And I've also taught you in a very simple way. And if you don't understand this, then why don't you just go and recite mantras? Practice Amitabha. Then maybe you don't have the arising causes with the dharma. With respect to the five poisons, you just blink an eyelid. Attachment, aversion, and ignorance right there and then. You understand it. You understand these appearances. You engage in these appearances. However, you don't understand Buddhism. You don't understand great perfection. Strong negative karma. So, repent well. We must repent all of our past negative karma. Really, nothing that appears is for free. Everything that is happening is coming about because of the exchange of cause and effect. How do we exchange our past negative karma? By engaging in positive merit. We exchange the negative karma with positive merit. Every time we're practicing, we are dedicating the merits of our practice to our karmic creditors. What are we so busy with every day? Is to repay our negative karma. What do we normally think? We think, I should be doing this. This is what I should be doing. We think that this is the case, but what is happening in reality is we are exchanging our karma. And if we don't finish exchanging it in this lifetime, we will have to do it in the next lifetime. Looking at the expression of this person today, looking at the expression of that person today, making this person happy, satisfying that person, engaging in this activity, that activity. What are we doing all the time? We are exchanging karma. If there was nothing to exchange, would we not already then have attained liberation? How do we exchange this karma? Through practice, through meditating, reciting mantras, engaging in virtuous activities. And then we dedicate it to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, to the benefit of all sentient beings, to all our past karmic creditors, that they may all be free from suffering and its causes, and that they may all have happiness and all its causes. And then all of the karmic creditors, we don't use our life to exchange this karma. What we use is merit to exchange this karma. We must understand to use this incredible opportunity that we have to understand the benefit of generating merit, the benefit of the Dharma. When we apply this, then it is really merit. And really before the Vajra Guru and the Three Jewels, we must earnestly repent all of our past negative karma. And all of the merit that we accumulate, we must dedicate to all sentient beings. The ultimate result of merit is that we attain Buddhahood. Do you understand this? Without any merit, we won't attain Buddhahood. Everybody, go home, work well, practice well, study well. When we have to exchange karma, exchange it. When we have the opportunity, practice, accumulate merit. If we don't practice, how do we repay this karma? Through our life force. Alternatively, we have the opportunity to practice, accumulate merit, and use the merit to exchange the negative karma. Look at some of the people working so hard, planting the fields, working the fields to repay the karma of their family. And same for the animals, these chickens, these pigs, what's happening? They are exchanging karma, raising them, giving them food as if they love them, and then just killing them. This is repaying karma. If they didn't have this karma, they wouldn't have ended up in the garden of this person. Really, this karma, cause and effect, is really quite incredible. Why is it that I stress the importance of reading, reciting the Sutra of Great Liberation? Because you can exchange lifetimes, all your previous lifetimes of negative karma can be purified. And if we don't recite this, how are we going to repent? Earnestly repent, earnestly read the Sutra of Great Liberation with repentance, practice the great perfection, and eventually you'll be successful in your practice. And these merits are perfect. Yes,